Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Doug is going to be alone with his grandson for the first time this weekend, and I told him he should periscope it so we can all watch how that goes.
Yeah. But do I need a one of those selfie sticks to hold the thing out so they can watch me as I'm walking down the street?
Man versus baby.
Right. You'll be good with it because he's silly teething. And goofy, so he'll like you until he doesn't. And then
no, he likes me now already.
Right. But until he gets, you know,
he'll like you until
hungry
he doesn't.
Or...
Right. You're so profound.
That's what kids are.
Well, he's teething now and apparently not sleeping too well.
Right. Kids love you until they don't. Right. Because something else pops up and now it's annoying them.
Right. It's in my teeth are bothering me.
Right.
Anyway, for those of you who don't know, Miles is my 10 and a half month old grandson. And I'm trying to spend more time with him the reality is he's in Los Angeles where my daughter and my son are. And when I say that, it sounds like I'm almost saying that he's my grandson through my daughter and my son. But in a sense, my daughter's husband, both of them are very busy, very active. They both are profs at UCLA. Megan has a side business as a tutor, and she runs book clubs for women. I mean, she's got 97 things that she's doing. But they decided among the three of them that there would be no outside influences on this baby. They don't want to put him in daycare.
Uh-oh, this is an all-Stefan baby.
This is an all-Stefan baby. And so when I'm there, I have tried to spend as much time with him, but he's not going to remember me. I haven't been there for 6 weeks, so he's not going to remember me from the last time I was there. But as soon as he becomes familiar and understands that you're a part of whatever his life is his bedroom, the dogs, his mother, his father, and his uncle, and then whatever is in the environment around him. He seems to like to go out in the car. He's a very good traveler, loves to be out in public. They've taken him to England. They've taken him around the state of California. He has not been any hassle at all. And I don't say that to sound like a jerkola proud grandparent. It just seems that his personality at this point is very cooperative and he's not. And both my children, Brendan actually cried more than Megan did. Megan didn't cry much as a child. She pooped a lot, but she didn't cry.
Oh, my gosh.
And I hope she's listening.
I know.
And Brendan.
I'm going to send her a link to this.
Oh, yeah. Good. Brendan was a little fussier for whatever. Who knows why children are. Richie, do you remember, did your mother tell you were fussy? Or Jennifer, did your mother tell you you were fussy? Or
I was good,
a perfect child?
My mom told me that I was actually a really good baby, that I didn't cry a lot, but that I never wanted to sleep. Like, I always wanted to be awake and looking at people. Yeah. And,
well, that's what this kid's all about. Yeah. He's awake all the time.
Which
Kenny, what do you remember your mother telling you about you?
That she didn't want to talk about it. I wonder what that means.
One of those babies.
Oh, really? That is pretty. That's kind of funny.
I wasn't a problem.
No,
my
I can't
brother
imagine.
Was. Yeah. My brother was kind of colicky, so he was a crier.
What does that mean, by the way, as a non-mom?
You always
hear colicky.
Stomach issues, yeah.
Gas.
You know, I'll tell you the way to do it. We had Sean back in 2004, and in that first 3 months, as any parent will tell you, it's trying.
Yep.
And then
doesn't
you get
want
to that
sleep.
Next six-month period. That's when they start sleeping overnight, and sleeping for 6 and 8 hours at a time, and that's when you're like, oh, thank you. But my daughter, woof.
She's nothing but energy. It's on with her. The switch is on all the time.
Yeah. But adopted her at 11 months old. Let somebody else deal with those first six months.
Pick them up at the store at 11 months.
I'll take that one.
All right. So I'm getting right in then on the ground, on the right level, Richie, because he has not been my charge until this weekend.
The first 6 months is tough.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you're going to spend some time with them, though, Dougie, because you know what? Now is when they start getting really fun. That personality's coming out.
Yeah,
they're smiley. Yeah. It's going
to
be good.
Maybe I'll bring them over to the big
I would love to meet him. I would love it.
He really is. He's a
and he's
Spartan
not really
kid.
Mobile yet.
Well, he is. He's now gotten himself so he can get up. He's driving him crazy.
Right.
Because he's scurrying around the floor. He finds something to jump up on or to hold on to.
But he's going to say he was driving. I'm like,
Can he pull himself up yet?
Yes.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
And he's with, and the two dogs are there, and he's pulling on the dog. The one thing is that he doesn't have any fear of the dogs barking or noise, whatever is going on with the dogs. He's used to it, and he's fine. He's not upset by a lot of noises and things. And they say the reason was because the dogs were around when he was in the womb, and he heard all the noises when he was in the womb, and he became adjusted to it, so it doesn't bother him outside the womb.
They say
and
the
he'll pull on their tails and yank on their ears, and they don't do anything.
The dogs just understand.
Yeah. Well, these dogs, Megan's dog is a little more annoying than Tony's old dog, but the dogs are really quite good. And that's what you need. If you're going to have, I think dogs around children are very important.
It's actually good for their immunity, by the way.
Oh, yeah. But it's good for their immunity, but it's also good for their adjustment.
I know the reason I'm allergic to dogs now is because I just didn't have them as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they say if you have a dog and your kids get used to pet dander at young ages, it prevents all of that stuff.
Yeah. I think that's true, Richie. There's a lot in that oil. It's the oil from the skin. A lot of other things that we try to keep our children from that we ought not to be because you are affecting the building up of their immune system. The story of Johnny Hodges. Johnny Hodges is a 90-year-old U.S. war veteran who has been living for 35 years on Social Security. He also has a home that he bought with his wife. His wife, he never owned a home until his wife got Alzheimer's, and he bought a home so that he could take care of her. They lived in apartments and stuff, but now he's facing eviction. And so on the GoFundMe site, which I am a big supporter of, I think it's a wonderful place to help people, the creativity. It's sort of like a crowdfund for a nonprofit world or for people or organizations that need help that are helping others. So this cry for this fellow went out a couple of months ago. Thousands of people came together on GoFundMe. Johnny is now going to be able to pay off his mortgage. He has $110,000 raised by 2,141 people in the past couple of months. His wife has Alzheimer's, and he doesn't want to put her in a home. Mm. He wants to take care of her. So that's why he bought this house. He came because of the treatments for her and what it's costing. He didn't have a lot of money. Before he had a little money and a little Social Security, they were okay until she started getting the treatments for Alzheimer's. And when he faced eviction, the story became, but the guy's 90 years old. His wife's 89. And he's taking care of her and there's nobody else involved. Why shouldn't we encourage that in America? Instead of taking it away from us, why wouldn't, if you're wanting to take care of your spouse.
Yeah, and if you can, why not?
And if you can physically and mentally and emotionally, why would you be penalized? Oh, we've got to get them into the system. Screw the system. This is family. This is home. This is reality. Let him take care of his wife, for God's sakes, and stay the hell out of it. And I don't see how you can argue with this 90-year-old man taking care of his 89-year-old wife.
That's very sweet.
Oh, my God. It is really an amazing. But these are the kinds of things that you find at GoFundMe that are really kind of cool. So we have that. Here's another. I don't know what to do with this. And I sometimes put correlative things together conversationally and expect Jennifer and Richie and Kenny to have a comment. And that's really what I sometimes when I present something, I may give you my opinion. I may not about it. Here's something that I just don't understand. You may or may not have heard this week about this Virginia man who has cerebral palsy. He was on a United Airlines flight that landed at Reagan Airport, and he needed a wheelchair.
No excuse for this.
Uh-oh. And they didn't bring him a wheelchair. They failed to offer him any kind of assistance at all. So he crawled off the plane. Can you imagine how bad United looks? Mm. Appropriately so.
I don't understand how that's possible. They have wheelchairs parked at almost every
gate. You have to trip over them when you go out the gate when you get off the plane.
Getting off my plane from Prague, there must have been 20 wheelchairs sitting there.
Did they know he needed one?
His name was Darcy Neal. He waited for flight crews to bring him an aisle-sized chair to help him disembark after he landed. He had a wheelchair when he got onto the plane at the other end. So they knew, you know, they have a record. How many wheelchairs? When you hear the plane land, you always hear the guy picking up the, or the lady picking up the speaker in the background. How many wheelchairs you need? It's 3, 4, 2, whatever it is. So they had the list. They knew there were a couple of other people that needed wheelchairs. But they didn't bring one for him. So he said, I don't have time. I got to get off. He said, I decided to get out, and I crawled down the aisle of the plane to get off. How in the world is United that stupid?
I said, we made a mistake and told the agent that the aisle chair was no longer needed, and it was removed from the area.
What did they tell the passenger, though? They didn't tell him anything. They told the crew, but they didn't tell the passenger. So he keeps waiting for the, and asking about it.
They arranged for the chair to be brought back, but by the time they brought it back,
he crawled already, off.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Damage had been done. Anyway, it's just one of those things. Just one of those things, as they say. Doug Steffens' Good Day program, 44 past the hour.
Today on App Check, Scene It Twilight is a Twilight-themed game of puzzles and trivia. And it's actually very well done. Scene It Twilight. It's a hit.
Between the snooze button in the shower, the commute, and the conference call, Starbucks Via makes it easy to enjoy a delicious, rich cup of coffee. Just add water, stir, and sip on your favorite Starbucks coffee right where you are. Starbucks Via. Look for it where you buy groceries.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, planning a party for your young child. How many guests should you invite? Here's the social science of it. Many parents don't realize that children go through 4 qualitatively different developmental stages as they grow from birth to age 12. As a result, too many people at a party when the child's not ready can spell disaster. But there's a way to use this developmental stage business to your advantage and create a well-controlled, well-planned party. If the child is 2, invite 2. If they're 3, then invite 3 children the same age to the party. If they're 8, 8 same age children running around will make for a great party. What's the cheap psychological trick? Take the age of the child, and that's the number of same age kids to invite. Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Many American households still possess old-fashioned mercury thermometers, which, while doing a good job, are too poisonous for the task. But throwing them in the garbage is highly unsafe, too. Mercury thermometers have that silver ball at the bottom and a silver stripe in the temperature indicator area. But instead, use thermometers with a red or blue liquid. They're safe. Because when a mercury thermometer breaks, toxic fumes are released into the air and mercury contaminates the area in which it's spilled. Likewise, it's extremely expensive and difficult to clean spilled mercury efficiently.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Famer has the most appearances of any player on the U.S. men's soccer team. And for 12 seasons, he was a fixture with the LA Galaxy of the MLS.
To Kobe Jones, the shot, and a goal!
So where is Kobe Jones now? Kobe is currently the Associate Director of Soccer for the New York Cosmos and a broadcaster for the LA Galaxy. He was also a member of NBC's broadcasting team for the 2012 Olympic soccer matches. Kobe founded the Kobe Jones Soccer League, a Southern California-based 5-on-5 children's organization which teaches Kobe's concepts on youth soccer development.
To be honest, no, I wasn't the best athlete. I was a good athlete, but soccer was my passion.
Kobe Jones, in a league all of his own. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
47 after the hour, Doug Steffen's Good Day program. Jennifer and Richie and Kenny and I are talking about this fellow who was on the United flight from San Francisco to Washington, and he had to crawl out of the plane, and United apologized, and they made it good, and yada, yada, yada. But wait.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
So he had to crawl out of the plane because he had cerebral palsy, and they did not, they thought that they didn't need the wheelchair, so they sent it away. And by the time they got the wheelchair back to the plane to help him, he had crawled out. So he just kind of got out and got a wheelchair out the gate and left, and that was the end of it. But one of the flight attendants on the plane felt really bad and reported it to United herself. That's when they reached out to him and offered him, apologized, and offered him a $300 credit and whatnot. And then guess what happens, Doug? The phone starts ringing.
Lawyers, lawyers
got it, and they say, hey,
you want to sue United.
So now he says, you know, it might be good just to bring awareness for this. So now the lawyers are getting involved. And but it sounds like the flight attendant on this flight did the right thing.
Yeah.
They felt bad. They reported it themselves to try and fix the situation so that it
would happen. But even the headline twists the story around a little until you read into it.
Well, you know, it's funny like because the part about the flight attendant actually reporting it themselves is in the next to last paragraph.
Yeah, right.
So you read the first four paragraphs, and it's all just United, United, United. Mm-hmm. And then you read down to the end, and where you see somebody actually tried to do the right thing.
Black Friday. Already, yay, people are thinking about Black Friday. Doesn't happen until the Friday after Thanksgiving. It's like 33 days away. Story of a Florida man at DougSteffen.com today who started his Black Friday campout today, saying his efforts are about more than a new TV. He's trying to raise awareness for homeless children. Kevin Sutton is his name. Set up his tent outside the Best Buy at Orlando's Florida Mall. The annual Black Friday sale, he says, is a great time to give attention to this problem. And so if you want to buy a new TV at a discounted price, great. Put the money that you save toward helping the needs of homeless children. Not a bad idea. You think it's a good? I think it's a good idea. There are 13,000 homeless children in Central Florida. He says he wants to help them out. Camp out to raise awareness of youth homelessness, and youth hunger is another big problem
in our
country.
You know what else is a great idea?
What else?
REI will close all of their stores on Black Friday.
Are they going to close them, or are they just not going to offer deals?
They're closed.
They're closed.
So that their employees can have the day off and be outside, which is their whole... That's their whole thing. It's an outdoor store.
Yeah.
So they say, you know what? We don't want our people working. We don't want you in our stores. We want you to go outside. We want you to enjoy the day.
We don't want you to come to our stores.
How dumb is
that? They're not even going to take online orders that day.
Really?
Lame. Come on, REI.
No, it's they say we're not Macy's. It's not going to kill us to be closed on Black Friday.
We're not Macy's. Right. It is a good ad. So we're not Macy's.
And you never will be.
51 after.